Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
It's an incredible difference. I mean, it's just the biggest thing is confidence. I mean, and going in with these new group of guys. I mean, we just developing the chemistry, you know, throughout OTAs and minicamp. It's just, I mean, it's a lot better, and the camaraderie is just there, unlike last year.
That was second year wide receiver Henry Ruggs, a bigger, stronger, more explosive Henry Ruggs. He was hiding the guns today. Derek Carr was talking about trying to make sure that that Henry went sleeveless or rolled up the sleeves to show off the guns that he produced during a very ardent, devoted offseason to working out. And I'm sitting here with back in the studio here at Lotus and staring right at our good, great producer, Devon Cotton, who spends his fair share of time in the weight room. I'm not going to say that Henry's got those guns, because Devon's got some guns. I'm telling you that right now. But I don't think Henry needs those kind of guns. All the respect in the world.
Yeah, because I can't run like that.
That's right. Because, you know, he doesn't need all those kind of guns. But he did need... He needed to add a little bit of strength, and that's what he did. He put on 13 pounds of good weight. By the way, I hate those dudes. Just kidding. But I hate those dudes who talk about, yeah, I had to eat all the time. That drives me nuts when I hear people like that. Just got to eat, and hope that I add some weight. Yeah, you're blessed. Just let you know you're blessed. But there's no doubt that Henry looks bigger, looks stronger, and looks more confident out there. I'm going to say this about Henry Ruggs. He's a humble kid, and he wants it, and he wants it badly. He's not the most vocal guy. You're not going to see him be the diva or anything like that. He's going to earn his stripes. Derek Carr talked about that, about how, look, you know, he's not going to go asking for it or demanding it. He's going to go show you that he deserves it, and I think he's well on his way to doing that. Now it's got to translate on the field. There's no way that they could go another season just – 26 catches out of Henry Ruggs. That needs to be 50, 60, maybe even 70 catches, a whole bunch of touches. Put the ball in his hands and let him do his thing. And with that speed and that added strength and that explosiveness, it'll be interesting to see what he can do with those type of chances. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation guest line and welcome in our good friend, Evan Grote from Just Pod Baby, one of our good friends. And Evan, first of all, thanks for spending some time with us in the huddle. You got a chance to look at some visuals today of training camp. You got a chance to hear from Derek Carr and Henry Ruggs with the new guns that he's sporting. What were your first impressions of day one of the 2021 Raiders?
Yeah, long time, no talk of any. Thanks for having me on again, and I'm happy to be back on with you, and I'm even more happy that now for the next 5 or 6 months, we actually have real football to discuss, so I'm really fired up about that. But, yeah, to get back to your question, I think the biggest takeaway for me from the first day of practice was, you know, I'm really excited to hear about the buzz that is surrounding the new defensive coordinator, Gus Bradley, and the energy that he brings to work with him every day. We heard Max Crosby speak about that today, as well as Derek Carr and Nicholas Morrow. And, you know, it's what this defense needs. There's a new leadership on that side of the ball. There's a new scheme, a whole new vision. And, you know, Vinny, the defense was the big storyline all offseason long. We talked about it a lot here on Raider Nation Radio, and they will continue to be the storyline all throughout training camp into week one, they must show improvement if this team is expecting to get to the playoffs this season. And I think, you know, we heard John Gruden speak yesterday. I think he hit the nail on the head yesterday when he said it all starts up front. How much pressure will that defensive line generate? They brought in some new bodies, as we know. We discussed the names at length. Ngakoue must live up to the hype. Max Crosby, he needs to continue to ascend. I think Cleek Farrell, he needs to, you know, add that dimension now as a pass rusher to go along with, you know, being a solid run stopper. He needs to show that he can make some more impact plays in games as a pass rusher. And, you know, you have to hope that some of the new additions on the interior to go along with some of those rotational guys like Carl Nassib and Malcolm Koontz, hopefully they can all come together, you know, and wreak some havoc. But I'm 100% with Gruden. This defense will go as far as that D-line will take them this year.
All right. Let's get back to the defensive line in 1 second because, you know, yesterday as a reporter, you're working on stories and I kind of had my, you know, the direction that I wanted to take my story. So I was asking specific questions about the secondary, unsure of what response I was going to get from John. And it just opened up like this Pandora's box in which he was gushing about the secondary. And I even wrote this, like, you know, given how much the secondary struggled last year, I think, you know, if you would have said that John Gruden on the first day of, you know, where players were reporting would be fired up about the secondary and kind of explain that and expound on that the way he did yesterday, I don't think many people would have agreed with that prediction, that that's who he would have been talking about and talking up the most. But that's what he did. And it wasn't, you know, no leading questions or anything like that. It was just, you know, a couple of questions here or there. And he was going on and on about what he thinks is going to be a strength of the team. And if it's not, then, you know, he kind of pointed the finger at himself saying, we obviously made some mistakes. Let's go back one day to those comments. What did you make of what John Gruden was saying and the kind of the praise that he was heaping on that young secondary?
Yeah, I agree with what you said about, you know, I don't think anyone was expecting him to come out and say that that could be a strength of the team. And you know, this is what we know about Gruden. He knows how to get people excited. He knows how to, you know, catch the ear of the fans and whatnot. But I still believe, you know, it's hard to imagine the secondary being the strength of the team this year, just because, you know, when you think about the youth that's still in the secondary, there's a lot of question marks that remain, not only with individual players, but also at certain positions. I mean, talk about the corner position opposite of Trayvon Mullen. We still don't really know who is going to be that starter there. You know, Dave, we heard Gruden speak about Damon Arnette, and he seemed to think that, or he seemed to say that, you know, Damon Arnette is very much still a part of the plans there. I need to see that before I can believe that. There's some question marks and safety, I think. Still, you also heard Gruden talk up Tyree Gillespie, the rookie. Who knows what's going to go on with Jonathan Abram? I think it's a big year for him. He has to show something. But I just think there's a lot of question marks there in the secondary. It's very young, and, you know, they have a lot of work to do before they can be what I consider to be the strength of the defense.
But can I make a case, Evan, that no coach, John Gruden included, is going to write a check that he has serious doubts the money is going to be in the bank to pay for that ultimately? He wrote a check yesterday to me about that secondary that he seems to feel pretty confident is going to deliver. The money is going to be there at some point. Now, I did write this, Evan. Look, at this point, I think the Raiders, John Gruden, Gus Bradley would settle for just mere competence at that position. And maybe that's what they get. And if they get that, that's a major step from where they've been the last couple of years. But do you subscribe at all to the theory that John Gruden's not about to write any checks, that he doesn't have a pretty good idea he's going to have the money to back up at some point?
Well, yeah, I agree with you to a certain extent there, because I will point out the fact that Gruden has kind of said things about certain players in the past, and I'm going to go back a few years here to the Khalil Mack situation when, you know, he came out and said, I came back to coach guys like Khalil Mack, and we know how that turned out. It also said that same season, Amari Cooper is going to be the centerpiece of this offense. We got to get him involved, and we know what happened there as well. And I'm not saying that there was a lot of things that went on in those situations. I understand that, but Gruden does have kind of a history of seeing some things that I think, as a fan, that you have to kind of take with a grain of salt. But that being said, he's there. I'm over here. I'm not at camp. I don't see what he sees. So there must be something to it. If he feels confident in a guy like Nicholas Morrow, who he was talking up, or a guy like Nate Hobbs or Tyree Gillespie, if he thinks that these guys can come in and be impact players right away, then, he's the head coach of this team, so I'm gonna take him for what he says. But, there is a bit of a history there of him making comments about players that it didn't work out.
We're talking to Evan Grote from Just Pod Baby. I agree with you, and there could be some psychology going on too. He knows that his players are gonna read that. Maybe he's showing them some love and some encouragement and some support and hoping that that can seep into them in a way that translates out on the field. But we're all anxious to figure out what he does have in that secondary, because it's going to play a big role in how this defense ultimately plays. But getting back to that defensive line, I felt today how deep this defensive line looks already in the first day of camp, and how deep and versatile it could be when the season starts. There's definitely talent out there, I think, to the level that we haven't really seen in the last couple of years. Unique Ngakoue changes the dynamic a little bit. But, as I was looking at and charting who was playing where, who was playing with who was on the first team, who was on the second team, I get it. It's early in training camp. But what are your thoughts on what looks to be a starting four of Yannick Ngakoue, Max Crosby, Jonathan Hankins, and Quentin Jefferson, especially as it relates to those two defensive ends? And are you worried at all, as a Raider fan and a Raider blogger, that if you're an opposing offensive coordinator, you're going to just run right at both of those guys, challenging them to stop the run early on? Do you worry about that at all, if that's how it's going to play out?
Yeah, I will say, it's still very early, but we can only go off of what we have seen from day one. And to be honest, I am a bit surprised that it wasn't Farrell that you mentioned out there running with that first team rather than Crosby. And I do think that you make a great point about being vulnerable on the edges against the run. Ngakoue, not known as a stout run defender as well as Crosby. I think we saw many times last year, Crosby, being a bit of a liability out there against the run. So obviously that's a strength of Cleveland Farrell. I would imagine that we may see some things, get shaken up a bit in the coming days. And we hear players say this all the time. Things change a lot once the pads comes on. And I know that Farrell has had a couple years now with the team as well as Crosby, so they kind of know what they're getting from these guys. But I'm not going to look too much into what we have seen just from one day, but I do agree with you. I think that is a very excellent point you make there about being vulnerable against the run with Crosby and Ngakoue there on the edges.
No question about it. And Evan, that's what we do, man. We overreact to every day, for crying out loud. And all we have is this day to overreact from. So it's going to probably sound totally different tomorrow. But from day one, we're going to overreact to what we saw. No question about it. All right. So, Evan, got a chance to talk to Henry Ruggs today. First talked to Derek Carr, and he was the one who brought up the guns and, the added muscle and the violence with which Henry Ruggs is running his routes. It all sounds good. He does look good. There's no question he looks different, looks bigger and stronger. And faster, but at some point it's got to happen on the football field. That's where the ultimate test is going to be. Early, obviously, the pads haven't been on, haven't even played a preseason game. I'm looking forward to all that. But basically, so on what we're hearing so far, what are your expectations? Realistically, what are your expectations of young Henry Ruggs?
Yeah, we've talked about Henry Ruggs a lot, and for good reason. I mean, they used a first overall pick on him, and I always like to point out the fact that he was the first wide receiver taken in that draft class, and there's a lot of talented wide receivers that came out of that class last year. And so, you know, that's definitely a disappointing rookie year, 26 receptions, 452 yards, and only two touchdowns. We know that he battled some injuries along the way, didn't have the mini camp and the OTAs in the offseason, but that is not the case this year. He did have that offseason. He's had the opportunity to work with his quarterback in the offseason to get bigger and stronger, all those things that the coaches wanted to see him do. It's time to put that all to – that's all got to come to fruition now for him this year. There's no Nelson Agholor in this receiver's room. I think there's going to be a larger, much larger responsibility on Henry Ruggs this year. He has to step up. He has to be that 1B, I'll say, to 1A Darren Waller. We got to see his numbers double, in my opinion. If he doesn't have 50 catches for over 800 yards and close to 900 yards, I think it's a disappointing year, too, for Henry Ruggs, personally. Again, they used the 11 or 12 overall pick on him. They passed up on some very talented wide receivers. I'm watching CeeDee Lamb today on NFL Network making one-handed, you know.
Don't do it, Evan. Don't do that to yourself, Evan. Don't do it.
I know. I tried not to.
Don't watch Justin Jefferson.
He's always going to be linked to these other very talented wide receivers, and it's hard not to compare and contrast these guys. But you know, it's got to come together for Ruggs this year, and it's not only on him to run better routes and to stay healthy and to do all those things that he can control, but it's also on the play caller to get him more involved. So I think there's two parts of that story.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I've always sensed from the very beginning there was a plan in place for Henry Ruggs. And especially without any kind of an offseason last year, I think that, and then he got hurt game one, and that was a setback that, you know, took a little steam out of his sails as well. I think a combination of things kind of conspired against him. I wouldn't be in any kind of a rush to say that, you know, he's a bust or a disappointment. I think that the Raiders understood what they were getting in him. Unfortunately, they weren't able to get him into the building day one. I think some things would have been a little bit different for him physically and maybe on the finer points of playing the wide receiver position. Evan, when we think about it, like last year, his first day was the first day of training camp, and it was a very condensed training camp as it was. So for a kind of a development player, and you hate to say that with, you know, where he was drafted, but there were some development aspects to his game. And I think of all the guys, the lack of an offseason and the condensed training camp probably hurt him most than any of the wide receivers that were taken in that draft. It was just one of those type years. But with everything that he's been able to build on now, he could put himself in position to turn some heads. And if he does that, then that changes the narratives. And you won't be so afraid, I would think, to watch CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson doing their thing. I mean, do you think that he's got that ability to be able to say, okay, he belongs in that same company, maybe in a different way, too? It may not ever be the 198 catches that a guy like Justin Jefferson gets, but in his own way can be somebody that, you know, is a difference maker for a Raider offense.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when they drafted Ruggs, I never had, you know, the illusions that he was going to be a 100 catch kind of guy. That's just not how I envisioned him, and I don't think that, you know, anyone who was realistic about Henry Ruggs, that shouldn't be how they envisioned him. He's not going to be. I don't think he's a top flight number one wide receiver. I think he's a very good wide receiver. He can be a very good wide receiver, but I think he's going to be more in the mold of a Deshaun Jackson, you know, a deep threat who can make impact plays, a guy that defenses have to account for. They have to know where he is at all times. And I think that's all they really need from him. And they have a 1A in Darren Waller, and hopefully they can get a little bit more out of a Bryan Edwards this year as well to kind of take a little bit of that pressure off of Henry Ruggs. But, yeah, my expectations were never that he was going to put up the numbers of a CeeDee Lamb or a Jefferson or even a Jerry Jeudy. His game is much different than those guys, but he can still impact the game and be a great player for this team.
Well, we're about ready to see. I know that there's a few more weeks, obviously, of training camp and preseason, but we're not far off from Henry Ruggs getting on the field and showing what kind of a difference maker he can be this year, what kind of growth he has been able to put together. I'm anxious to see it, and I think he does take somewhat of a step forward, and it could be very well be a pretty darn big step forward. And I know Evan's going to be all over it as well. Follow him on Twitter. Go check it out, just Pod Baby. He does a great job. Evan Grote, thanks so much for spending some time with us in the huddle. Take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you down the road.
You too, Vinny. Thanks for having me on again.
You got it. That was Evan Grote. We always enjoy talking to him and getting his insight about the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
It was definitely it was my main focus. I mean, it's a man's game now, and you know I'm not the biggest guy, but I have to you know get to where I can compete with grown men now. So that was one of my biggest things that I hammered on was, you know, getting bigger, eating all the time, and just hammering down in the weight room. And
it's a grown man sport, the NFL. Professional sports is a grown man sport. You see it all the time. I've covered sports a long time. It's so funny to me. When I used to cover the NBA, you know, you would watch while you're covering the NBA, you're also paying attention to college basketball, and you're, you know, seeing guys on TV and, you know, wow, you know, guys doing their thing at that level. And then shortly after the NBA season, shortly after the draft, you know, teams put together their summer league teams and you go watch them in play in the summer league. It's now here in Las Vegas. Back in the day, it was in Los Angeles. But it was always a great chance and a great reminder for me to understand the differences between the college game and the college bodies and the college maturity at that point, and the real NBA. And you would see guys that you had seen on TV in college at North Carolina and Duke, you know, so on and so forth. And then you would see him in the summer league going, wow, okay. This kid looks like he's 16 years old out here. He's got a long way to go. He's got a ways to go before he could do that, what he was doing in college in the NBA. And, you know, the great ones end up getting there. And sometimes the great ones are right off the bat, they're just really good players. But that's not as often as you think. Now imagine doing the same thing in the NFL and listening to Henry Ruggs talk about how it's a grown man's league in the NFL, and you got to compete as a player with those grown men. And for him, he's not the biggest guy in the world to begin with. He understood that he needed to make some changes to his body to withstand the physicality of this sport. You think about a guy like Henry Ruggs, who, let's face it, at the college level, where, yes, in the SEC, he was facing NFL cornerbacks without question, even in practice against his own team. But it's still different when you're going against Vanderbilt, when you're going against Kentucky. Yeah, you might see an NFL guy here or there. But when you get to the NFL, every single day you're seeing the stars of stars. You're seeing the top 1% of the sport of football. And in college, even in the SEC, as good a conference as that was, generally speaking, a guy with breathtaking speed like Henry Ruggs can just basically rely on that speed to blow past defenders. And that's not taking anything away from Henry Ruggs. I always looked at him, even at Alabama, as a football player who was really fast. He wasn't a fast guy that just happened to play football. You get that every once in a while. He was a football player that was really fast. But at that level, let's face it, he could get by and rely on just that speed to be able to make him better than his defender or deal with his defenders. Well, in the NFL, where especially, you know, you're going against savvy veterans, bigger, stronger, grown men that are 26 years old, dads putting food on people's on their family's table, just grown men. That understand the game, that understand all the tricks of the trade, all the nuances of how to stop guys, even with that kind of speed. And they're going to do it in a physical way. They're going to do it in a mature way. They're going to make sure you don't just beat them with what you got. You're going to have to figure something else out. to beat them. So long story short, in the NFL, you can't just run by guys. You can't just rely on that speed to get you by. You have to be able to be physical. You have to be able to get off the line of scrimmage, whether it's with footwork and nuance as a wide receiver or with strength to blow through guys sometimes and fight off guys at the line of scrimmage. And I think what Henry Ruggs realized was I just can't get by with my speed at this level. I got to do something physically to get bigger and to get stronger. Now, this is where I give Henry Ruggs a lot of credit and why I think he's got more than half a chance to reach his ceiling. I truly believe that whatever Henry Ruggs' ceiling is, he's going to get there. Why? Because not only did he see that, not only did he recognize that, not only did he acknowledge that, not only was he honest about himself to truly heed that, he went out and did something about it. There's guys that can talk a good game. This offseason, I'm going to work on it. That's right. That's what, obviously I got to do that. And then, go home and chill and, in the weight room and in conditioning and the diet and all that kind of stuff. Henry Ruggs was the opposite of that. He put the work in, and you can see it in his body. And you got to figure, when guys do that, when guys are that committed, then you're also going to see it in terms of what he needed to work on as a wide receiver. If you're going to put the time in to get your body right, to do, and it's not easy to do what he was doing, it takes a lot of work, it takes dedication, it takes commitment. If he's going to do all of that, you got to suspect, you got to feel that he's also going to do the on-field type of stuff that he needed to work on. And so that's why I feel good about saying whatever the ceiling is for Henry Ruggs, he's going to get there because he wants it. And in a second, we're going to hear from Derek Carr kind of talking about that very thing. But before we do, we're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line because Rich is on the line. Wants to talk about the Raiders. How you doing, Rich?
What's up, Vinny? How's it going?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Rich?
Oh, my gosh, dude. It is hot in the Inland Empire, but not as hot as over there.
Yeah, well, it's getting there. Cal, what's going on with my home in Cali? It's not even just hot. I'm hearing that there's humidity now. What the heck, man?
Bro, it's nasty over here, man. You know, normally, you know, as you go towards L.A., it starts getting humid, and it's a lot more drier here in the Inland Empire. But it's just been ugly. I mean, it rained 2 days ago. Crazy, right?
Right.
You know?
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
No, it wasn't.
The heck with the environment, right? We don't need that rain.
Yeah. Hey, Vinny.
Yes.
I got a question.
All righty.
Now, with this team, I know a lot of people have said, you know, well, the offensive line, it should
What's
be
troubling
better.
You, Rich? What you? I'm sensing some hesitancy, man. What's troubling yourself? What's troubling you, my brother?
What I'm trying to say is, you know, my biggest fear factor today is not the defense.
Okay.
I mean, you could see when the defense was coached well, that defense shut down a healthy Kansas City team for almost a whole half. Okay, a healthy Kansas City team, which nobody else can do has done for that time.
That's true.
That's the same defense that shut down the Browns. Okay, there's talent on defense. I believe with better coaching, it's going to be better. My only problem is, what are the precautions that the team is making, especially on passing? Okay, because most of the guys we have are, well, they're run blocking guys. They're not pass blocking guys. So are we going to start shortening the time holding the ball? Are we going to start for more shorter passes? What have you seen so far?
Well, yeah. Okay. So let's start from this premise. Okay. First of all, we don't know if Andre James, you know, what his strength is. All right. He could very well be a guy that excels in pass pro. So we can't assume one way or another with Andre. Colton Miller is a better pass blocker than he is a run blocker. And that's kind of why they needed to get that right tackle situation taken care of, because they like to run on that side, and that's the kind of – they need that road grader over at that spot. Not to say that Colton Miller is a bad run blocker. He's just better at pass pro, and that's a good thing, especially on the left side. So, you know, you go inside. I think Richie Incognito, no doubt about it, he's got dominant run block traits. And I think that that was sorely missing last year, you know, in that run game. It wasn't as efficient as it was in 2019. I think part of the reason was Big Richie Incognito wasn't out there except for, what, two games out of the year. All right, so – but he's also an adequate pass blocker, and I think that that's going to be expressed and seen this year as well. So we go over to right tackle. You know, obviously, Andrew or Alex Leatherwood profiles more as a, you know, dominant type run blocker compared to what he does as a pass blocker. But this guy won the Outland Trophy Award last year, and he played on a team that, yes, they ran the ball, but they threw a heck of a lot too. Nick Saban has understands now that, you know, you don't win 17-15 with a dominant defense anymore, even at the level of talent that he gets over at Alabama. You got to spread it out. You got to throw it. And as a result of that, when you go all the way back to every offense that Leatherwood played in at Alabama, there was a lot of throwing going on, and he held himself to a pretty high level in that regard. Is he going to be able to do the same thing in the pros? Obviously, it's a different level of play. But think of it this way, Rich. Alex Leatherwood isn't replacing Trent Brown, because Trent Brown only played four games last year, okay? So let's get Trent Brown out of the way, and let's talk about what he's really doing, Alex Leatherwood. He's replacing Sam Young, who played probably the most snaps over at that tackle spot. You know, Denzel Good played a little bit of tackle. Sam Young played a little bit of tackle there. Brandon Parker played a little bit of tackle there. My point is, without Trent being there, it was a struggle at right tackle, okay, in run blocking and pass blocking. But they still were able to manage that and score the 10th most points in the NFL. Derek Carr still threw for over 4,000 yards, still had a really good season, all right? As good of a run blocker as Alex Leatherwood is compared to himself as a pass blocker, I'd venture to say that given who he's really replacing, and it's more Sam Young than Trent Brown, he's going to be an upgrade next year at right tackle in terms of the pass protection. The Raiders already showed that they can function at a pretty darn high level in terms of throwing the ball and scoring last year with basically a turnstile at right tackle. If Alex Leatherwood can be a fixture at right tackle this year, game in and game out, do what he does in the run game and be adequate in pass protection, I think that offensive line is going to be okay in that regard. What do you think?
I agree with the whole Sam Young thing. I mean, it's been a bad situation at right tackle. I mean, I remember Newhouse. You mean?
Yep.
There's a litany of guys, and I get that. I just, you know, I'm trying to word my things because, you know, I'm tired of the Derek Carr talk. You mean, I really am. You mean, just, you know, I'm going to support him. You mean? And that's it. You mean?
Right.
You know, he's our quarterback. You know what I mean? Until he's not.
Yes.
Okay? You know what I mean? So, I mean, but, you know, just, I mean, we all know what happens when there's too much pressure. You know what I mean? It's, you mean, just.
He struggles.
That's a concern for me because a lot of people who feel like I do is because they want to win.
Yeah, no question about it.
They want to win. They want to win. And guys like me, I mean, I've been around since the Los Angeles Raiders.
Right, right.
You know, Howie Long came to my school, you know, when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and A.C. Green did, you know, he came on the same day. I mean, this is how far I go back with the Raiders. And it's that time. I believe the defensive woes will be fixed. I don't think they're going to be a top 15. I believe they can be somewhere around 20. I believe that they could be a functional defense, and it just doesn't give up big plays. That's my biggest thing. Giving up big plays, you know, like the game against Kansas City. Mahomes was going to score no matter what. Either he was going to walk in or he was going to throw the ball. That was bad play calling, you know what I mean, from the game on that play. You know what I mean? So I think we're going to have better play calling. We're going to put guys in better positions. I just think that this offensive line may struggle, especially facing, you know, a bunch of 34 teams in the beginning of the year.
Well, yeah, and Rich, I really appreciate the call, and it was spot on, to be honest, the points that you're making. And there's no question that there's a lot of pressure on this offensive line. I've said this before. I think that a couple of things are working in this offensive line's favor moving forward. One is they had a chance to build a foundation with a basically regular offseason program. So there's some familiarity that's being built in. There's a comfort level that's being created as a result of that. It's a normal, for the most part, training camp. I think that's going to help this young, kind of rebuilt offensive line. There's going to be some preseason games that they didn't have last year. It's not four, but it's three, but it's going to give John Gruden and Tom Cable a chance to run this group out onto the field in some game-type situations in preseason, which wasn't available to them last year. I think that's going to help build what they need to build as they move forward toward the regular season. And I think also a sneaky big element of training camp this year that's truly going to benefit this offensive line is the 2 days that they spend practicing against the Rams out in Thousand Oaks ahead of the preseason game against the Rams, which I think is August 21st. August 21st, that game against the Rams, no doubt it's going to be important. There's going to be a lot to take away from that. But even more importantly than that is the 2 days that they spend practicing against the Rams on Wednesday and Thursday leading up to the game. Why do you say that? Well, first of all, fat chance Aaron Donald and that first team defense is going to even play in that game. All right, so the offensive line for the Raiders is going to probably see the backups of the Rams. That's not going to be the case on Wednesday and Thursday. I know it's not full bore, full pads, getting after it, but I've seen Aaron Donald in practice, and he'll wreck an offense in practice, and he's probably going to do that to this Raiders defense offensive line more than a few times. But that's okay, because that's how you learn. The Rams offensive line coach Aaron Cromer used to tell me, I want him to kick our butt. I want him to make us look silly. I want him to embarrass us, because that's how you grow. And I think the 2 days in controlled atmosphere, snap after snap after snap, and it'll probably be 100 of them, that offensive line gets against Aaron Donald and that first team Rams defensive line is going to be invaluable for this young Raiders offensive line. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila and Bajador.
We're back in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor. This is Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
I think that Henry is getting into that place where I think the feeling is like he wants it, you know, like, and he's going to not ask for it. He's just going to go show you hopefully I made that picture correct, you know. And it's exciting, because I think everyone that saw him, I mean, he looks bigger, you know. He's hopefully I'll get him to roll his sleeves up a little bit, you know, and show those guns off. But he.
That was Derek Carr, Raiders quarterback, talking about young Henry Ruggs with the newly developed, hard worked on guns. I'm not saying he's DeMond Cotton guns. I'm looking at DeMond back at the studio. DeMond's been obviously putting time in the weight room.
First time back, man.
That's right. That's right. You know, hey, COVID-19. I was. This is literally the first time we've literally seen each other since, man.
I want to say like Thanksgiving, Christmas time-ish. Yeah.
Holiday in fact, time. You were supposed to come over to the house for Thanksgiving, but we were like, you know what? Is this the right thing to do, you know, with COVID-19? So we had to squash that. I was going to say it was going to change this year, but the Raiders play on Thanksgiving Day in Dallas, so that doesn't look like it's going to happen this year. But we'll figure something out without question. And Devon's got the legit guns. I'm not sitting here saying that Henry Ruggs has done all that, but he didn't need to, right? Henry Ruggs is a speed guy, and we can't forget that. And I even asked Henry, there's that fine line because, you know, on one hand you want to get bigger, but you don't want to get bigger to the point where it takes away from your speed. And here's Henry talking about that.
I mean, even in the weight room, you work on different things, but you know, when you're gaining weight, you still have to do the little guy things that I'm known for. So, you know, still hammered on those things and just got better in the things that I need to work on.
Yeah, and it's an important distinction to make. I don't think he lost any speed. And in fact, I think sometimes when you get stronger, you may even pick up speed or at the very least pick up quickness. And one of the things that Mike Mayock spoke about this offseason, I remember talking to him over at the scouting combine in Alabama, which seems like years ago, but it was really just months ago. But just talking about being a more explosive player and forcing teams to feel that speed. And it's not just the straight ahead speed. It's the speed out of the breaks. It's the threat of the speed when you're running full speed at a defensive back and stopping on a dime and forcing them to put the brakes on and then bang out of that break, leaving them in the dust. It's that type of action that Mike Mayock was talking about on the explosive side of things. And sometimes the way you acquire that or better that or refine that or add that to your repertoire is just being physically stronger. So that adds to the explosiveness. And, you know, Derek Carr, this is the second time I had talked to him in OTAs, kind of privately about Henry Ruggs, and Derek was like, man, Vinny, this dude, the violent way that he's running his routes is noticeable. And you know, that's a guy who A, is just stronger and has added to his explosiveness. And a lot of times when you do, and DeMond being the weight room warrior that he is, you get more confidence too. There's a little bit of confidence. Like I'm sure in your weight room work, DeMond, doing certain exercises, doing certain things, the stronger you get, right? The more confidence you probably have in yourself.
Yeah, the stronger you get and the more reps that you get and getting more comfortable with a specific lift. You know, it's like you're not afraid to do it.
Right.
Because let's say, you know, how people always talk, oh, he can't bench like, you know, whatever the weight may
right,
be.
Right.
He can't bench the 45s. But once you do get the bench in the 45s, you do get to like 200, you get to your twos, now you're comfortable with three, and now you're challenging yourself to see like what I can actually put up.
Right. And in a wide receiver's case, especially somebody like Henry Ruggs, being able to put that kind of an explosive, being confident in yourself to be able to make those sudden burst type of explosive moves out of your breaks. And, you know, what you're trying to do essentially is trick guys and lose guys with moves and you know, pivots and all of those type of things, body movement that you're trying to utilize to shake a defender. And being able to force the defender to honor that speed in a way that goes beyond, again, just the, I'm just going to back up because I'm not going to let you beat me long. And that's how I'm going to deal with that speed. But the up close personal way that you shake somebody and utilize that speed to your advantage to put the fear of you know what in a defender and get him rocking and rolling and twisted and turned and then just bang, you know, leave that dude. That's the type of things that I think that Henry Ruggs was thinking about when he was adding that weight, adding that strength, and adding to that explosiveness. Now, the other parts of the game that Mike Mayock was talking about, being able to be a refined pass catcher, not just grabbing the ball. He's got good hands. He showed that a couple of times last year that he'll go up and fight for the ball now. Don't think that he won't. But it's coming down with both feet in the playing field, being able to be a finesse guy along the sidelines so that, you know, you're not just fast, you're not just this, you're not just that, but you're somebody that can make the catch, come down with it, come down with your feet in bounds, touch them. You know, you've seen the great wide receivers that can do that. It's adding those elements to his game as well. But it's really going to be interesting to see where Henry Ruggs takes it this season. There seems to be a lot of confidence in him from himself, Derek Carr, John Gruden, and that's usually the first step toward him or a player making a bigger impact on the field. Just want to say thanks to all of our guests, Paul Gutierrez from ESPN, Evan Grote from Just Pod Baby. I want to say thanks, obviously, to Damon Cotton. Good to see you, my brother. Always thankful for everything that you do to keep this show running on time and sounding good. I want to say thanks to all the callers. Thanks to all the listeners. We'll be back at it tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m., another big day out at Raiders camp. It's just so cool to be talking about football again. Visually seeing it and then taking it to you. We'll see you tomorrow in the huddle. Vinny Monsignor brought to you by Tequila and Butter.
Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.